This episode is brought to you in part by the American Homebrewers Association, an organization that celebrates the hobby of homebrewing, protects the rights of homebrewers, and provides members with world-class brewing resources. Visit homebrewersassociation.org to learn more about membership. homebrewersassociation.org. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, March 21st, 2019. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, a collection of single malt and single hop beers from the DC Homebrewers Club. Club members were challenged to brew different styles using only Pilsner as the malt and Sterling as the hop. DC homebrewer Omar Al-Nadawi walks us through the process, and Steve and I taste five of the examples. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows, our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and our other Basic Brewing gear, including our tie-dye silicone pint and our Brewing Rainbow shirt. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. If you do us the favor of rating us on iTunes and maybe leaving a nice comment that will help new listeners to find us, or at least that's what they tell us. And if you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And thanks to everybody who's helping out in that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a list, a long list of the stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter, including an early release and behind-the-scenes video I posted Monday for financial supporters. It's our episode featuring my attempt at brewing a Bell's Two-Hearted Ale clone, using the hops that David Curtis sent me from Bell's. The rest of you will see the video posted on Friday. That beer was delicious, and it's gone. One of the dangers of having beer on tap. Hey, and while I'm thinking about it, if you go to our homebrew shop, or not our homebrew shop, but our online shop, basicbrewingshop.com, you'll see it's under construction because Kelly Dodson and I are working on a new version of the shop that I hope to have launched the first week of April. So stay tuned for details on that. I got an email from Matt Misfelt up at Patriot Homebrew Supply up in Omaha, Nebraska. Matt says, wanted to update you that Nebraska just passed a bill to let our homebrew clubs serve homebrew during public events and nonprofit fundraisers. Legislative Bill 235 was a two-year-in-the-making bill that I testified, I meaning Matt, testified in favor of on both submissions, once in 2017 and again in 2019. Matt says the bill was passed and signed by the governor on 13th of March. The bill was hard-fought with a lot of letter-writing campaigns by local homebrewers and craft beer supporters. The local brewing community has been anxious to get this passed so we can brew more beer. Well, that's great news. Great news from Nebraska. Congratulations, Matt. On the not so great news I've been hearing about and seeing all the flooding that's going up there that way lately. Pretty devastating in some areas. So I hope all of our listeners are safe and making out okay up in the Nebraska area. Let's talk about our friends and sponsor, Imperial Organic Yeast. I continue to be impressed with Imperial. On Sunday, I brewed a Helles pseudo lager using the Imperial Cable Car strain. On imperialyeast.com about Cable Car, it says this strain is for fermenting your California common beer. Cable Car can produce clean pseudo lagers at ale temperatures, but is also willing to work as a traditional lager strain down to the mid-50s. Well, my basement is at 64 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 18 C. So that's what the beer is fermenting at. And my basement didn't get as cold as it usually does. It's usually like at 50 degrees Fahrenheit or 10 degrees Celsius, but just didn't get cold this year. The airlocks started bubbling just a few hours after I pitched that yeast. And by the next morning, it was going gangbusters down there in the basement. Imperial has the highest cell count of any liquid yeast producer, 200 billion cells. And my stir plate is dusty because I don't make starters anymore for moderate gravity 5-gallon batches. Imperial is the only manufacturer of certified organic yeast in the world, and they have top-notch customer service with an industry-leading QC program. And I love the Imperial packaging, too. You know, they started out in those little cans, but the big pouch that they have now opens easily, and it pours right into the fermenter. So check out all the great strains of Imperial yeast at imperialyeast.com and look for Imperial Organic Yeast at your local homebrew store. I love that stuff. I was inspired to do my Helles Pseudo Lager by this week's show. I just used Pilsner malt and Hallertau tradition hops. I wanted to make it as easy a brew day as possible, so I brewed out on the patio on St. Patrick's Day, and it was a beautiful day. I posted a picture on the Instagram and Twitter. I also used No Chill. This is the second time I've used No Chill recently. I figured since I wasn't worried about hop character with this beer, I'd just drag out the old No Chill container from the basement and put it to use. It feels like cheating. The next morning, the wort was at 68 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 20 C. And I racked it into a glass carboy before pitching. I got a question on Instagram when I posted a picture of racking into the no-chill container. The person asked, why not rack straight into a carboy from the kettle? Well, if you want to appear on our annual disaster show, that'd be a great idea. But otherwise, I'm pretty sure you'd have shattered glass and boiling wort all over the place. Don't do that. I did get a comment on YouTube from a brewer who racks into a plastic fermentation bucket directly from the kettle and just pitches the yeast in there when the wort cools. So that's something to think about. That would save a step. But I really like being able to see the fermentation process. So I'm usually not a fan of plastic fermentation buckets. I like being able to see what's going on. Although the plastic is lighter than glass, so it's got that going for it. Of course, I brewed that beer using my Warthog electric brew-in-a-bag system from our friends and sponsors Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa. Again, I feel like I'm cheating when I brew with that thing. I pour 8 gallons of water into the system for a 5-gallon batch. I turn the controller to the mash mode and set my strike water temp, and then I walk away and do other stuff for a while. And that powerful Blickman boil coil heats up the water in a hurry. And then after I dough in, I set my mash temperature and the Warthog controller holds it rock steady. I don't have to worry about it. I just come back and stir every now and then. Or I can hook up my recirculation pump and let the system take care of that too. And when it comes time to collect the wort and boil, I just take out the bag, put the grain in the compost, and set the controller to boil mode. 80% power worked great this past weekend to maintain an aggressive boil that I didn't have to babysit. Unlike when I brewed with propane in the past, I'd have to worry about the gas running out or the wind stealing my heat, you know, by blowing it away. A high-gravity electric system takes the pain out of propane, and if you use the code EBC75BB on highgravitybrew.com, you can save $75 off your electric gear purchase. Check out all the electric brewing options from 5 gallons all the way up to 2 barrels at highgravitybrew.com. It's highgravitybrew.com. Okay, this was a fun show to do. It's great to drink tasty beer. At the same time, you're learning stuff. Omar Al-Nadawi and the members of the DC Homebrewers were kind enough to send samples from their experiment, brewing different styles from Smash Recipes. Omar Al-Nadawi, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Hi, James. Good to be back.
How's the weather in the nation's capital?
It's a nice and toasty 70-something degrees today, actually.
Wow. And what's that in Celsius?
Don't ask me. I think it's 25. I have completely switched to the Fahrenheit scale.
Yeah, I'm looking at my cheat sheet here on the wall, and 25 is about right, so good job. Didn't mean to throw you a curve right out of the bat, right out of the gate.
I was prepared.
Well, you sent us another wonderful experiment. Last time you were, it was an experiment on adjunct malts or adjunct grains. This time, you took another approach. What did you guys get together and do?
So this time the experiment was about, well, it started also as a smash experiment, actually, but then it evolved into a smash experiment with a yeast variable. So what we're trying to do really here is explore the limits of what you can do with very simple ingredients. So we picked a very, let's say, simple grist and simple hop selection. We picked Pilsner malt, something that's very versatile, and Sterling hops, because, you know, after some research, we realized that it can pretty much fit into any beer style we can think of. And then we told brewers who volunteered for the experiment to go crazy with their styles and with their processes, and just create the best beers that they think they can make with these ingredients. Of course, they were limited to Pilsner malt and Sterling hops, but they had the freedom also to use any yeast or multiple yeasts that they wanted. And the results were, I think, quite interesting. We had 10 or 11 brewers join the experiment, and they produced 12 beers that couldn't be more different than one another.
Wow. And was there any coordination to make sure that there wasn't duplication?
A little bit. Basically, people looked. There was a shared document online, and people looked at you know, what everyone was doing. And there was really no one was, you know, told what to make, but everyone was trying to, I think, you know, focus and highlight what their house character, what their house skill is. You know, every brewer has kind of a preferred style or a preferred group of styles, and people just did what they felt they were, you know, best at.
Yeah, you sent us 5 beers, and I was impressed, or we were, Steve and I were impressed with the diversity of the styles and the diversity of the flavors, not to get too much into spoilers at this point. But do you have a list in front of you of all the styles that were represented in the experiment?
Sure. We had a Kolsch. We had a Trappist single. We had a an American Pilsner. We had a Belgian Blonde. There was also an ESB, a Helles Lager, a Saison that was done in 2 versions, plain Saison and a Brett Saison. There was a Berliner Weiss that was fermented with 3 different yeasts or 3 different bugs. And there was also an English Pub Ale.
Hmm.
There was a California Common.
Ah, okay. Now, you didn't send either the ESB or the English Pub Ale, and that's not a style that I would generally associate with Pilsner malt. So how did those turn out?
Those actually turned out well. The brewers, I think, used extensive boil lengths to get out of Pilsner malt a different set of characters. They were actually quite, you know, very close to what you expect from the style. Unfortunately, they were just not available in a format that I could ship to you.
Mm.
So, they either came in a growler or they were kegged, and I just couldn't, you know, logistically it was difficult to send you the full list.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll take full kegs of beer, so it's no problem on our end. So there was nobody toasting the Pilsner malt or anything to change the grain going into the mash tun?
No, that was basically the only restriction, that you're not supposed to do any toasting or roasting, and no other additives to the beer. So sugars or adjuncts of any sort, just 100%. Pilsner malt grist and 100% Sterling hop additions.
And there were they were not limited as far as the techniques. So it seems like in the ones that we received, there was a diversity of brewing techniques, including one decoction mashing.
Right, right. I think the Kolsch was decocted.
Yeah.
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 Kolsch beer had a decoction with a multiple step mash.
You know, I always admire those who go out of their way to do decoction mashing, because it's just so labor intensive and time intensive. And you know, we'll see here in a minute if it was worth it or not.
And we also had a beer that I think did not had no boil at all. I think that was the Berliner Weiss.
Oh yeah, yeah. So so what was the response? Was everybody surprised at how these turned out?
I think yeah, people were impressed with the diversity of the styles, and which I quite enjoyed. You know, that was actually the essence of the experiment, and in that way, I think it was a success. You know, people often sometimes on the forums you'll see people ask, you know, I have this malt and this hop, what can I make? And I think what we're trying to make the point is of what can't you make with just one hop and one malt? And this experiment, I think, shed light on the almost endless, you know, possibilities that you can do with very limited ingredients.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people are frustrated sometimes when they see a recipe online and they can't get the very specialized, niche malt or ingredient that, you know, from their local homebrew store. But a lot of times, you know, it's going to take a very discerning palate to tell the difference between those.
Very true. And with process, you can compensate for a shortage of ingredients or unavailability of any ingredient or specific, you know, step that you can't make.
Is there anything else before we head into the tasting?
Well, enjoy the beers.
I did enjoy the beers with Steve in his shop, his stevesbrewshop.com. So we sat down and took a moment and sampled these five wonderful beers. Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James. It's a pleasure to be back.
We're here at stevesbrewshop.com.
.com. At the corner of Township and College.
Behind the come and go.
That's right. Behind the come and go. You can't go wrong.
That is the name of the store.
Yeah.
What do you get going on in the store nowadays?
Oh, my gosh. We've got a lot, actually. Lots of exciting beer kits, you know. The beer of the month.
The
beer of the month for March is going to be my Panther Knob. The Panther Knob Saison.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's really good. It was intended to be a Tank 7 clone, and it's very close. So I'm not going to say that it's an exact clone of it, but it sure drinks like it, and it's a darn good beer. And the beer of the month is 25% off. So.
Wow.
People could go online and check that out, and you can get it as partial mash. You can get it in a 2.5-gallon batch, 5-gallon batch, partial mash, extract, or all grain. I've got it formulated in any one of those configurations, and it's darn good beer. So look for that on the website. Also, the hop of the month.
Oh.
The hop of the month is Galena, which, which is a great little hop. So,
And what makes it special? Is it... discounted since it's the hop of the month?
It's 50% off.
Woo!
Yeah, so it's basically buy one, get one free. You could call it that, BOGO. You ever heard of BOGO?
Yeah, it took me forever to figure that out.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, so I like 50% off. This sounds better to me, but same thing.
Sure.
So anyway, $1.10 an ounce, you can't beat it. And it's a great hop. It's a good general purpose hop. You can bitter with it. You can do late hop additions with it. So yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Check it out at Steve's Brew Shop.
.com.
Here we have five beers from our nation's capital, the D.C. Homebrewers, who sent us that the really cool adjunct grain experiment that we tasted a while back.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to these. These are all smash beers, so single malt and single hop.
Okay.
And, you know, most of the time when you think of a smash beer, you think of just a pale ale or an IPA or something like that. At least I do. But these are all different styles. And as I understand it, I'm trying to remember the email from Omar. I think they brewed like 10 or 11 of these.
Wow.
And had them at the club meeting. So I love experiments like this. Especially this, it's like the rules are simple, you know, just a single malt and single hop, and then you can do whatever you want to. So we've kind of lined these up in the order of clean to funky, maybe.
Yeah.
so that you know, our palate will be appropriately tuned as we're tasting. And we're going to start off with the Helles Lager. You want to go ahead and open?
Okay.
This is a Helles Lager, Jasper German Lager Yeast. Original gravity 1052, final gravity 1010, ABV 5.5%. Brewed January 6, 19 or 2019, 1919. It's well aged.
Yeah.
Mashed in with 11 pounds Pilsner malt and 3.5 gallons 165 degree purified water. Mashed at 148 degrees for about an hour. Batch sparged with 5 gallons purified water at 172 degrees. Collected 5 gallons for second runnings. 7 gallons of 1043 pre-boil wort, boil for 90 minutes, added 1.5 ounces sterling hops at 60 minutes, whirl flock tablet at 15 minutes, 1 ounce of sterling at 10 minutes, whirlpool with a spoon and rested for 20 minutes, chilled to 63 degrees, oxygenated with a stone, and then pitched a yeast starter. So we got plastic cups, so cheers.
Cheers.
Clunk. Ooh, it's a beautiful beer.
Mm-hmm.
The clarity is good. It's got a big, fluffy white head on it. It looks beautiful. It's poster worthy.
Yeah, it really is. It looks like a. I mean this in a nice way. It looks like a commercial beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very clear and golden, and really nice malty. It's got a nice malt profile. I like it.
Yeah, it is super malty. It smells great.
Mm-hmm.
The hop balance is nice and clean.
It's got that nice, crisp, dry hop finish that you kind of want in a German beer. Reminds me a little bit of Warsteiner.
Huh. Yeah, it's very well done. And it doesn't say what temperature it was fermented at. It said chilled to 63 degrees. I'm just wondering if it was fermented at that temperature. You know, it's traditionally seen as a fairly warm temperature for lagers, but for lagers, as Tom Brokaw would say.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, nowadays you and I have fermented lagers at room temperature, and they've come out just fine.
Sure, they're just a tiny bit more fruity than they might have been otherwise. But on a windy day, you'd never know the difference.
Mmm, that's delicious.
Yeah.
The mouthfeel is nice and sort of round, and it was mashed at 148 degrees Fahrenheit, which is a little bit low.
Mm-hmm.
So but it's not thin at all.
No, it's not. In fact, it's got a really nice malt backbone to it, and remind me, it was a Pilsner malt.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's great. Good beer. Good job brewing it.
Yeah, it's very well done. I could drink that all day.
Yeah, I'd be really proud of that if I made that.
Very nice. Makes me want to brew a lager just in time for spring.
Yeah, no kidding.
Of course, my basement didn't get down to lagering temperature this year. Usually, it gets down to 50 degrees Fahrenheit or 10 C. But wow. our winter has been so mild that it's still in the 60s down there.
Not today.
Well,
last few days it's been like 9 degrees.
But my basement is insulated by the ground.
There you go.
Okay, now we move from the Helles. I'd like to brew one of those.
Yeah, that's really good.
The Helles to the Kolsch.
Okay.
Now the Kolsch was brewed with Y yeast 2565 in the year 2565. Original gravity 1044, fine gravity 1009 for ABV of 4.76%. 8 pounds of Pilsner malt, 1 ounce of Sterling hops at 45 minutes, half an ounce of Sterling at flame out, mashed in with 3 gallons at 133 degrees temperature for an initial mash temp of 125, held for 10 minutes, raised to 144, held for 30 minutes, pulled 4-quart thick decoction. Oh, this is exciting, a decoction mash. Boiled 10 minutes, mixed back in, adjusted the mash temperature to 156 degrees Fahrenheit, held for 20 minutes, ramped to 168, mashed out, and boiled for 90 minutes. Wow.
Wow. So, that's a lot of work.
Yes. Let's see. This is the one?
This is it.
That's really nice.
That's terrific. That is terrific. It's soft. That's an easy drinking lawnmower beer right there, in the best sense of the word. Man, that's a good beer. It's the color is a little richer, a little darker than the lager that we just had, the Pilsner that we just had. The malt profile is softer, it's a little softer and rounder. I think the hops are less pronounced, but just terrific. And both fermentations are very clean. They're very, very well made beers in terms of, well, a fermentation. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong in either of these beers at all.
I like the I like both of these beers. The Kolsch is a little more, would you say, grainy? I mean, the grain,
yep,
character of the malt comes out a little bit more. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe because there's so much work going into the mash.
Yeah, it does have a very soft, round, grainy profile. Mm-hmm. I don't get any kind of DMS out of these, either one of these. Just super, super good job.
Yeah, and we have the luxury, we can taste them side by side now.
Yeah.
To me, the Helles has a little bit of a brighter hop character, maybe.
It does.
And there's a little bit of a teeny bit of a corniness on the Helles that is not on the... But I like it.
Mm-hmm.
That is not on the Kolsch.
Mm-mm.
But boy, like it again. I could drink both and each
yeah,
and either all day long.
I'm pretty impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so far, yay! We're batting 1,000.
Okay, now we got all lined right up here. We got the Trappist Single. I could make a dating app reference there somehow. The Trappist Single with Y Yeast 3787, OG 1062, 45 IBUs, final gravity 1006, ABV 7.3%. Ooh. Brewed on January 5th, 12 pounds Avant-Garde Pils malt, single infusion mash. No sparge, mashed at 148 degrees for 75 minutes, 100-minute boil, 1.5 ounces of Sterling at 65 minutes, 3/4 of an ounce of Sterling at 25 minutes, 3/4 of an ounce of Sterling at 10 minutes, 1.5 ounces of Sterling at flame out, Irish Moss at 15 minutes, hit with 45 seconds pure oxygen, and then pitched 1 activated pack of Y Yeast 3787 at 62 degrees Fahrenheit. Bottled on January 21st, primed 4.5 gallons of beer with 125 grams of table sugar. Boy, the head on this one is sticking around.
Yeah, that's got a big head, and very, very pretty beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, almost goes to a copper color. It's very interesting to me how essentially. I'm a little slow too. So we got the same. They're playing around with different beers with virtually the same ingredients, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same Pilsner malt as Avant-Garde. The others just say Pilsner malt,
right?
But this one was boiled for 100 minutes. The Helles was boiled for 90 minutes. But this one, you're right, is a little darker. It's a little darker copper color.
Mm. It's nice and rich. The head is very persistent. really tasty.
Wow. The hop character is very floral mm-hmm. on this one. You know, this brewer used a bunch of hops in there, and you can tell they, man, that's an interesting character. It's floral and perfumey, and but it goes well with the style.
Yeah, it does. And I'm really, the head on this beer is so interesting, and I really do wonder about using table sugar as your priming sugar. Because I've done that a few times when I've just been like, oh, no. And so, well, I'm just going to go ahead and use it. And I have noticed that the head on those beers is like this. It's very fine. Huh. It's real pillowy. Doesn't tend to be rocky. It tends to be kind of soft but very pronounced head. So that's interesting. I don't know if there's any correlation there or not for sure, but that's what it reminded me of.
It's very marshmallowy looking.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good word for it. Yeah, it's like marshmallows. The beer has a real light Trappist character to me. It's not over the top. Mm-hmm. It's a super easy drinking beer. Again, this is a beer I could drink quite a lot of.
Yeah.
Without any trouble.
And there's no, other than the priming sugar, there's not a, you know, there's no sugar addition listed here.
Yeah, so I wondered about that. And I, but he's still got a 7% beer, right? Yeah. And, geez, that's super good. I don't know which, I hope you're not going to ask me which one do you like best.
No, this isn't a best of show.
I'll go with the Rottweiler. Gigi is one in Brussels and the Yukonoba.
Champion. That is really tasty. It's so interesting. This, I mean, the first two beers were pretty similar. Mm-hmm. You know, they're similar styles. This one is way different.
It's very different. And very, all three are very drinkable. Gosh, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Very impressed.
Yeah.
I'm going to take one more sip of that. Wow. And the mouthfeel is nice and substantial. Again, you know, to go along with that rocky head, which is still mm-hmm. hanging around.
And the beer is not cloying. A lot of times, Trappist ales, to my palate, can be too much, too sweet. There's just too much going on in them. I do really like Chimay's and, you know, the famous ones. They're very well made. But to be honest, I've had a number of homebrewed versions that were like, whoa, that's
sugary.
Yeah. This one is not. This one is exactly the way it's supposed to be, and it's a very drinkable version of the beer, the single version of it. So it's one that you could, well, at 7%, you couldn't drink very many of them, but you could try.
I wonder if the amount of hops and the timing of the hops has something to do with the head retention, you know, because there are a bunch of hops, you know, at several times during the boil, including flame out. So, you know, could be that's got something to do with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to keep these lined up here. Okay. Now we have a Saison fermented with Y-Yeast 3726, original gravity 1052, found gravity 1010, IBUs of 27.9%, ABV of 5.5%. Brewed on December 14th, 2018. Woo! Now we are pouring in plastic cups as well, which it's probably hard. Has something to do with the head retention too. Original gravity 1052, final gravity 1010, ABV 5.51%. This is a 3 gallon batch, boil size. Or no, wait, batch size 3 gallon, boil size 5 gallon. Okay. 90-minute boil, avant-garde German Pilsner malt, single infusion mash, 149 degrees for 1 hour with 3 gallons of water, sparged at 170 Fahrenheit with 2 gallons of water, 5 grams of sterling at 60 minutes, 5 grams of sterling at 30 minutes, 20 grams of sterling at 10 minutes, 20 grams of sterling at 5 minutes, Once wort was at 68 degrees Fahrenheit, it was aerated by splashing it into a plastic fermenter and it was shook around for 5 minutes before inoculating with the yeast. It says the first 2 days were fermented at 67 to 68 degrees Fahrenheit, then raised to around 70 degrees Fahrenheit, left it in there for 25 days. Bottled on January 8th, targeted 2.5 carbonation volumes with 116 grams of dry malt extract. Oh, for the priming.
Nice.
So, wow. And that is, again, a very impressive head.
Yeah, no kidding. It's, I'm letting the beer settle for a little bit.
Ooh, it smells like a Saison.
Well,
it's got a funky,
definitely
funky aroma.
Man, that's way down on the farm. It smells good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, but I can also smell grain as well.
Mm-hmm. I can smell grain. I can smell the hops.
That's super nice.
Oh, wow. I got to say, from the bouquet of the beer, I was expecting a much more formidable tasting beer. it's really soft. The grain palate's really nice and soft. It's a really nice, easy drinking version of Saison. This would be a Saison I might give to people who don't drink Saisons, who aren't familiar with the style. This would not be one that would scare you away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, this isn't farmyard. It smells a little farmyardy, but it doesn't taste it. Mm. And the hop character is somewhere between the single and then the first two beers.
Yeah.
You know, there is a little bit of that perfumey thing going on in there. But then the yeast comes in, and you get that kind of spicy, you know, Belgian Saison yeast character in there. And, boy, that's delicious.
Yeah, it really is. And the way those hops play, they're just very floral. Mm. Really nice. Really
wow.
Not over the top in any direction. I think my favorite part of this beer is the graininess of it. Mm-hmm. The way the grain palate hits my mouth is very enjoyable. And then the way the hops play, too, there's no real bitterness. Now, I don't want to say it's out of balance. I just mean that I don't kind of get that back-of-the-throat bitter charge. And sometimes with Saisons, I get that. And that's not a bad thing, but I really like this, the way this one plays a lot.
Wow. I said we weren't going to pick favorites, but that's my favorite. It just kind of sticks out. All of these are really, really good, but it's just very complex.
Yeah, it really is, and it leaves a little sweetness at the finish. So it finishes not so much dry as a little bit sweet and luscious in the mouth, and really, really great. Man, I could go for some oysters. This would be great with some pomfrets and some oysters. Man, I'd be living.
Whoa, that's a tasty beer.
Mm-hmm.
All of these are really delicious. And the color on this one is maybe... No, I guess the Helles is a little lighter than this one.
I think the Saison goes to a little bit of banana, a little luscious fruit. Mm. Like maybe like kiwi, banana, not mango. What's the other one? Papaya.
Huh.
You know, just real soft, real luscious, mm-hmm. and the fruit is very ripe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not tart. It's ripe fruit. It's really good.
Wow. Very impressive. And we've saved for last the Berliner Weiss. What? Pop goes the girl's spring.
She goes.
it's not erupting. It's just just a little springy there. Y-yeast 1007 plus Brett C plus Sour Weapon L.
Ooh.
1032 original gravity. 1005 final gravity. pH at 3.12. Oh my.
Wow.
I'm glad we saved this one for last. Oh, yeah. And the head on this. Maybe we should have rinsed these glasses before we
But they're brand new.
I mean, sometimes when you rinse a plastic glass, it helps knock the head down. Oh, yeah, we got regular glasses here.
Yeah.
We can save this one. Okay. 5 days prior, made two starters, one 1 liter aerated starter for Weiss 1007 and Brett C., shook once to twice daily, and one unaerated last beer. One unaerated 250 milliliter starter with a pinch of chalk for a Sour Weapon L. 6.2 pounds Avant-Garde Pilsner. 3 gallons reverse osmosis mash water adjusted to 50 calcium, 5 milligrams. My high school chemistry is failing me. There's... It was adjusted minerally. Mashed for 60 minutes at 146, so the lowest mash temperature. 20 minutes at 162, 10 minutes at 173. Sparged with 3 gallons of reverse osmosis water, heated to 185 degrees for 5 minutes to pasteurize. Adjusted pH to 4.2 with lactic acid, chilled to 95 to 100 degrees. Transferred and pitched Bootleg Biology Sour Weapon L, that's Lactoplanetarum. After 8 hours, when the temperature has dropped to 60 to 65 degrees, pitched the Weiss German Ale 1007 and Brett C. White Labs 645, held at 65 degrees for 1 month. So it looks like no boiling. Dry hopped 1 to 5 days with 1 ounce of Sterling. Bottled with priming sugar, aiming for 4 volumes, so fizzy. So no boiling. This is the kind of beer, you know, just like 6 or 7 years ago, we would have said, that's going to be horrible. You didn't boil, you broke all these rules, and it's going to be nasty.
It's not.
I've been talking this whole time. Talk about it.
It's very tart. This might be the most tart Berliner Weiss I've ever had.
Mm. Wow. It is tart.
Yeah.
But tasty at the same time.
Oh, yeah. No, it's really well made. It's very complex. That's the other thing. It might be the most complex Berliner Weiss I've ever had. Not that I'm some world expert on Berliner Weiss. You know, I don't want
to. I've been coming to you with all my.
Yeah, exactly. But even, you know, the kind of famous, couple of famous commercial ones that I've had. And then ones at brew pubs and things like this. This one really, it's pretty remarkable. Let me drink a little bit more of it.
It is very tart, but at the same time, there's enough of a malt backbone to balance it. What color would you say that? Is that a pinkish hue? There's a little bit of a. It almost looks like a. Grapefruit juice.
Yeah, it does. It goes to a real light pink, very light, and it's the only beer that I would say is cloudy. Mm-hmm. The other beers were all quite clear, very translucent. This one's a little more opaque, though. If you candle it up in front of a light bulb like I'm doing, it's really pretty. Mm. It has great head retention, and I've had a bunch of Berliner Weisses that had no head retention.
Yeah.
So this has got really good head retention. The level of carbonation is great because it helps that sourness. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very refreshing beer. You did a great job of putting them in the right order. Because this would not have been the one to start with.
No, our palate would have been blown for the rest of the flight. Boy, that is really good. The sourness, you know, it's kind of a sweet tarty,
yep.
Sour.
Yeah, it is. It reminds me of a sweet tart. I don't get a bunch of hops in this beer, mm-mm. Which you shouldn't really. It's all about the sour. It's all about the carbonation. It's all about the refreshingness of the beer. I think that that the level of tartness and the level of carbonation would, I think that some Woodruff syrup or some raspberry syrup would really play well with this. It's almost a little too tart for my palate. Huh. ever so slightly. So I'm really not dinging the beer, but I think if I could drop just a few drops of Woodruff in this, it would soften that off for me, and I think I would like it a lot.
Boy, very nice. I think Omar did a great job of selecting these beers. I'm assuming Omar is the one who did. But, man, there's not a clunker in the bunch.
No, there's not. Every one of these were really good examples of the style of beer that they were attempting to make. And every one of them were well-made beers that, personally, just as a home brewer, I'd be really proud to have made any one of these.
Taking, you know, the limitations of one malt and one hop, It's not a limitation at all.
No, and again, when people ask me, so I have customers that will come in and they'll say, well, how many kinds of beer are there? Well, there's no way to answer that because Here we've taken, again, the same basic ingredients and made five extremely different beers. Mm-hmm. And then you could say that any one of these beers, if you had five different brewers make the exact same beer, they would come out with five different beers. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody's brew house is different. Mm-hmm. Everybody's technique is different. Temperature, all that plays such a role. I don't know that I have a favorite.
Huh.
They're all really good. I think. Well, maybe I do, but it's not. It's not because I think it's a better beer. I really like this Kolsch a lot.
Huh. Yeah.
That was just rang my bell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all really, really good. And on a different day, I might pick something other than the Saison as my favorite. You know, mm-hmm. just depends on, what my mood is and what the weather is and, you know, what time of day and all that. But, man, super, super grateful to the members of the D.C. Homebrewing Club for including us in this experiment again.
Yeah.
Just really, really remarkable.
And a nice club experiment, a nice way to do some brewing education for everybody, because I'm sure they shared these beers around within the club, and a nice way to learn, in this case, it sounds like what Avant-Garde Pilsner Malt can do.
Yeah.
And Sterling Hops. So, cool.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Remember the special on the beer of the month, the beer kit of the month, Panther Knob?
Panther Knob. Panther Knob Saison, farmhouse ale, it's a Saison.
And that's a place in Arkansas. So
yeah, it's a mountain down near Jasper.
There you go. That's where Dogpatch USA used to be.
Right
near Jasper.
Well, see, I name all my kits after either a river that I like to fish in or a mountain that I would like to climb. Pretty much.
I'm waiting for the Bald Knob Baltic Porter.
Well, that's coming.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, James.
So, Omar, I don't know who picked those out to send to us, but those were wonderful beers, and we were really impressed with the differences between them. I mean, you know, like the Helles and the Kolsch were probably the most similar. But even mm-hmm. between them, there were differences. But it's amazing what, you know, when you tie a brewer's hands behind their back, they can still they can still brew some really interesting and different results.
Yeah, I'm glad the beers did not disappoint. You know, they were I think they were all beers of the of very good quality, and I would be, you know. I brewed one of them, but I would be proud to have brewed any one of them.
Oh, for sure. So, do you have the names of the brewers who brewed those styles?
Sure. The Kolsch was brewed by Bob Rouse. The German lager, the Helles lager, was brewed by our club's president, Sarah Bondioli. The Saison was brewed by Louis Quillar, and the Berliner Weiss was brewed by Trevor Fisher, and yours truly brewed the Trappist Single.
Ah, nice. Very nice. Yeah, I would have been proud to brew any of those beers. They were all great.
Thank you.
So what's next on the agenda with the DC homebrewers, with as far as experiments go?
Well, we continue, I think, to churn out a decent, number of experiments at a good frequency. A couple months ago, we did a smaller scale experiment that was that I also found quite fun and informative, in which we tested another group of smash beers, but with various and exotic sugar additives.
Mm.
So instead of the grain adjuncts, we did 25% or 20%, can't remember exactly, of various sugars and molasses and syrups. Quite a fun experiment. And I think next time we're exploring the idea of possibly doing something that looks into the differences between different dark roasted malts.
Oh, wow.
Still working on the concept of that, but probably be something like, doing the same stout recipe with, five or six different roasted malts of similar range of Lovibond, and see how those, stack against each other.
Yeah, that would be great because, Black Patent, for example, gets the reputation of being, kind of burnt and ashy. But if you actually steep some, it has a kind of a roasty sweet character. So I'd love to hear about the results of that.
That's true. Yeah, there have been some good experiments on the different methods of using roasted malts, like mash capping and cold steeps, hot steeps. Directly into the mash, and what we're probably going to do is something that combines probably the process as well as the, the different grains between, all the variety of, you have Midnight Wheat, you have your different carafas, you have Black Patent, Roasted Barley, Dark Chocolate, not to mention the others that have slightly different Lovibonds, but mm-hmm. lots of business there.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, are you headed to Providence, Rhode Island in June?
That's the plan. Hopefully, I'll make it this time.
Yeah. Well,
a good contingent from the club.
Well, that would be great. I hope to meet y'all in person, and shake your hand and thank you for including us in all this stuff.
I look forward to it. Thank you, James.
Thanks, Omar. Thanks again to Omar and all the members of the DC Homebrewers. I hope my little Helles beer turns out as well as those beers. And of course, thanks again to Steve Wilkes of stevesbrewshop.com. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form at basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. And be on the lookout for our new shop coming in a couple of weeks. Hoping to be the first week of April to launch that. It should be mobile ready so you can see stuff on your phone. So that will be at basicbrewingshop.com. Until then, that's all. Until next time. Until then, thanks for listening. I'm James Spencer, production help for Basic Brewing Radio, and our website's provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.